Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Last week we talked about being able to live some ordinary lives and do extraordinary things in the midst of those ordinary lives. There's a lot of extraordinary moments that God can do if we will surrender these ordinary moments to Him. There's another pretty heavy moment that's coming up for someone else in our church, and that Dale sitting back there. And Dale, this coming Tuesday, has got a tough one, and his mother has passed away, and the matriarch of their family. And there's some more tough ministry, I think, that God's going to do through that family and through that life. And Dale, even in the midst of grieving, in the midst of hardship, I think that you're going to be a voice of encouragement and a voice of life, that God is near in these situations. Perhaps some of you guys have aged into the season where you've seen that generation ahead of you pass on, and you may now be the older generation. Golly. And the thing is, we know it's coming, but never fully ready for it. And Dale, we're in your corner. There's some men here that just want to be brothers and walk through it with you also. Couple sitting right there beside you, I know. I can feel there's some heaviness in our church family with death and loss and conversations that we've had of just some hardships in families, marriages, watching us walk through things with children, kids, community. And so we want to be able to feel the room and feel the weight of what's going on in our church family, and yet partner with a life-giving God and not only stand with complete allegiance to our pain, but complete allegiance to a God that sits with us in that pain and helps lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. We want to become more like Him, and He is really healthy. He's really whole. He really does bear the weight of sorrow. And He leads us into pastures that are green and waters that are still. But there are these moments when it is the valley of death, and He's in it with us. And we've got a God that's with us, and we've got a church family that's with us. And I just want to encourage our hearts this morning that He has never left us, nor will He. He has never forsaken us. He's the God who is always Emmanuel, the God who is with us in the midst of all of it. And so you might not have had a massive, extreme loss, but you're just saying this season's just tough. It's just a hard one. And He's right there in it with you. Yeah. Something recently that's happened as far as a ministry that we partner with in our community. We partner with Campus Life. And Campus Life is a ministry in our community, specifically to our junior high and senior high students. For some of you, you partner financially by giving to Campus Life. And there's two different ways that you can you give, that it all goes toward the ministry of Campus Life. But you can give to Sam Yagi, or you can give to Campus Life, which goes towards Madison Grant. In this last 2 weeks, as potentially many of you know, if not, Sam is no longer in that role or in that position. And I just want to say, as a church family, we are Sam Yagi fans. We support Sam. We love Sam. Hope to continue to walk closely with Sam. But there's been a transition of leadership there, and some have asked, what is going on with my money when I give to either Sam or to Campus Life? And then also just to speak to it as far as a ministry partner, us as a church. What is our move here? Our church has been the most faithful and consistent. A blessing on you there, Trent. Appreciate you serving, brother. As we have faithfully and consistently supported campus life, not comparing or contrasting to any other church, but we're there. We're faithful. And the most faithful leadership that has come alongside campus life has been Melissa. It's been Scott Sugar. It's been Andrew Hale as far as leadership. That leadership continues to move forward with campus life, and we want to continue to serve. This Monday, which will be tomorrow night, we're going to move forward with campus life and ministering to our junior and senior high students. Any monies that you are giving, if it's directly to campus life, it continues to go towards ministry at Madison Grant. If you were giving to SAM, it simply just rolls into campus life, which goes back to the ministry of Madison Grant. Campus life will potentially hire someone to fill that role full-time, but right now, collectively, we're doing it as a team between, you know, some of us here from Fairmount Friends. So Fairmount Friends is still committed to our high school, to our junior high, to ministering to students. Campus life is bigger than any one person. Campus life is committed to hundreds of kids as we continue to minister. So that's kind of our stance with campus life. We want to continue to see it happen, and we want to continue to love on and administer to Sam and to our current leaders that want to continue to move the ball forward on that. All right. Happy birthday, Judy. 80, right? No, nope, not 80. And it's Kyle Kozitz. I know you, man, with good hair. All right. I want to continue talking to our church family about living really ordinary lives that is done in really ordinary ways through ordinary people, not looking for extravagant things through extravagant people, but just really ordinary things and looking for a spectacular God to do amazing things through our ordinary lives. Last night, we had our committees meet here, and those who serve on committees, and it was our five main committees. It was M&O, Christian Ed, Missions and Outreach, our trustees, and our stewardship and finance. And those that serve on those committees came in here last night, and we cast vision for where we want to go in 2023. And in a lot of ways, what it looks like is just showing up day after day, week after week, in our community, loving well the people that God puts in front of us. That's what it looks like. Day after day, week after week, showing up and loving the people that God puts right in front of us. There's a commitment to living very simplistic, ordinary lives and expecting a really fun God to show up. We don't only praise God, we partner with God. We don't only enjoy God, we join in with God. We don't only just delight in Him, we do alongside with Him. There is a partnering that comes. And the best way to do ministry through ordinary lives is through an overflow of the Spirit of God on your life, where God strengthens the muscles of your spirit man, where you're strong every day walking into your job, to a situation with your family, into the ball game, into your business, wherever you go, that there is an overflow of the Holy Spirit, that you live an ordinary life, but there is fountains and rivers that are flowing out of you. And just really cool, awesome things happen. Check out this scripture from Romans chapter 12, and in verse 1. It says, so here's what I want you to do with God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Something that I like about this idea is that I can just bring my ordinary, everyday, walking around, sleeping, eating, showing up, everyday life, and lay it down at His feet and say, God, I surrender this ordinary life to You, that You would be able to use it in spectacular ways for the kingdom of God. Julie Canlis says this in her book, Theology of the Ordinary. She says, my concern is that the activist impulse at the heart of evangelicalism can put an enormous burden on people to do big things when what we need most right now is to do ordinary things better. We can miss God in the daily stuff. If we were more serious about these ordinary means of grace, I'm convinced the church would have a much stronger witness in the world today. With Charles Finney, or these mega ministry leaders in the star system of our religious DNA, the normal faithful things of our lives feel, well, they just feel ordinary. And who wants to be bound to other Christians who are only just paying their mortgages and raising their kids or suffering depression when we can be blazing a new trail with God on our own? As Michael Horton wryly remarks, it is more fun to be a part of a movement than to be a part of a church. We can express our own individuality, pick our favorite leaders, and be swept off our feet at conferences, and we can be anonymous. Here's what she is comparing. She's comparing being spiritually stimulated, where I'm looking for moments where I have Holy Spirit goosebumps, and I get kind of my little spirit tickled and my ears tickled, but I really don't want to just sit in the grind of the everyday life with a church family that's sucking wind, that's going through hardships, that's trying to love their community, that's showing up day after day. It'd be much easier just to show up to conferences and kind of get encouraged. But the hard stuff is to be in a family and the frustrations and the idiosyncrasies and all of the little weirdness and the high dork factors that families have. And they said this thing wrong, and I didn't like how they did that, and all of those weird sort of things. She goes, you know what? We don't like being around ordinary. We want the spectacular. And here's what I'm contending for, is can we take our ordinary, everyday, rising and sleeping and present it before the Lord? And just say, God, here is my living sacrifice before You. And could You do something really spectacular with it? Last week at James Dean Days, I'm finally recovered. Thank you for praying for me, family. While walking around at James Dean Days, I see a guy who's the father of a basketball player I coached in high school a few years ago. And as I see him, we're passing him, I'm like, hey! And I say, hey, real fast, and he kind of turns around and says, hey, and we just kind of keep walking in the crowd. And I feel that thing in my spirit. And I'm like, it was more than just a hey, it was more than just random timing, it just wasn't an accident. Turn around and go back. So I go back and I'm chasing him down. Hey, I just want to tell you real quick. All of those years through junior high and through high school, of you showing up and cheering on your boy, and it was a divorced home situation, and the son lived here, the dad lived in Fort Wayne, and would hustle out of work and drive all the way down here to watch his son, who didn't play a ton, would drive down and watch his son sit on the bench And after the game, come up and hug him and say encouraging things to him and cheer him on. Hop in the car and drive back to Fort Wayne and do it the next day and do it the next day and do it the next day. And I said, you know what? You grinding out that ordinary life spoke volumes to me about faithfulness and commitment and to how to engage as a father whenever you're so far disconnected. And we have this exchange of, man, I just got to be there and support him. It has nothing to do whether he plays. It has everything to do with the relationship and to be there with him. And I, like, he's like preaching to me, man. It was like, it was just so good. There was a moment of this pivot. And do you guys ever have that? Like, man, I need to go say something, or I need to encourage this person, or I just need to engage in some way and somehow. And this ordinary life for years was speaking to me. And I would maybe tell him from time to time, but I know this was a time that I had to speak to him. Just tell him there was something that you were doing that shifted the inner life of this young man that had you not been there, who knows how that story would have played out. Also at James Dean Days, I'm sitting there at the parade collecting so many Tootsie Rolls. Why does everybody throw out Tootsie Rolls, man? Like, and I collected them and I gave them to Mike and to Nancy as they were sitting in a golf cart behind me because they like to eat Tootsie Rolls. And I'm talking with Heath and Pam. And they're living these ordinary lives before the Lord and just stepping out in the next thing that they feel like God's calling them to do. And they feel like God is calling them to do foster care work and to bring kids into their home. And so they have Daniel and they have Vivian. We got Vivian sitting right there, man, just shining. Look at this girl. Are you kidding me? If you haven't met Vivian, do yourself a favor. Oh my gosh. And they're saying now, potentially, there's some family members that are wanting to come back in, and they're like, man, we've had her when she was about 48 hours old. Like, she's been hours, and we have poured our guts into her, and we want to kind of move this thing towards a deeper relationship, maybe towards adoption. Who knows what God's going to do? But as you start to give your heart away, you got to get it back tenfold, right? And now their hearts are like engaged in this thing. And it's just like, what's the next step that we do here? And God, what's the next step that we do here? And what's happening with some ordinary everyday steps is some pretty spectacular things where you're rewriting DNA inside of these kids. Where the inner life is being shifted by just, I'm just going to show up today and I'm going to feed them a bottle. And I'm going to change their diaper, and I'm going to love them and hug them, and they're going to get a ton of skin-to-skin contact where otherwise they probably wouldn't, and they're just going to get unbelievable love. They're going to grow up in this jacuzzi hot tub of bubbly affection. And we don't think anything of it. Man, I didn't lead this great conference, and the Holy Spirit didn't fall, and I didn't preach some little message. I just got up, and I gave them a bottle. And God's like, yeah. Oh, I like that. That's what's up. I'll work through that. I'll show up for that. I'll be engaged in stuff like that. Last week, James Dean Days, Joe and Bobby send out some messages to people saying, we're going to sit right in front of the church at 6 o'clock, and everybody go pick up your favorite junk food, bring a lawn chair, and sit on the front steps. There's about a dozen people sitting in front of the church just having conversation in a very ordinary way. And a very easy little message that you sent out and just saying, God, I'll be available. I'm just here. And if you would use me, then use me. And if you would want to encourage somebody, then use my mouth to encourage somebody. And I just want to make myself available. Wherever I am, what would you want to do to utilize me? Alyssa, would you join me? Do we have a microphone up here, Andrew? Do you have a mic? Got it in your pocket. I also want to do a quick little shout out to the man kids. We've Ben and Maggie Mann, they have a couple kids that are sick and they're watching right now. Aww. So to Urban, and I call her Little Maggie, to Lara and to Little Maggie. Who is it? Elsie.
All I can think of is Little Maggie.
Elsie. Hi, guys, if you're watching. Well, I want to talk a little bit about just presenting your life before the Lord in ordinary ways.
They couldn't see me over there.
Oh, gotcha. And so maybe let's talk a little bit about some ways that you have seen God do awesome stuff. I just want to look at there. So whether it's being a mom and just showing up at volleyball games or picking your son up at football or sitting in the stands and just very practical, easy, ordinary ways, but believing that God's going to show up in these ways. One of the things that you do is you visit people in the nursing home. And you just recently had a situation with a person and staff are kind of freaking out. And you're speaking to a person and maybe there's even some critters behind the person. And what's going on as you have just a normal conversation?
Yeah, so I've taken this message to heart and I have just said, God, I don't know about preaching in front of thousands or anything like that, even in front of y'all. But I want to be used in the ordinary, everyday life. And so use me. I'm going to make myself available. So I was at one of the nursing homes, and there was a woman. She did go through she was going through something physical that was affecting her, her attitude and her mood and things like that. So as I'm visiting her and wanting to pray with her, and she loves me. Like, I love her, and she loves me. So it is always when I walk in, oh, you're here. And I tell you what, I got the look of death when I walked in. It was, who asked you to come here? And with this scowl. And I was like, ooh. I understand that we've got some physical ailments that could be adding to this attitude. But as soon as that look came my way, and with this growl and this grimace, I kind of wondered if there were some demonic forces also at work. I know that sounds a little weird, but angels are real, demons are real, and they can affect a person, or sometimes even talk through a person. And she was acting so different towards me that I thought, does she know who I am? And so I asked her, I said, do you, or her or whoever was speaking to me, I said, do you know who I am? She goes, yes, I know who you are. Just like that. And I was like, oh, man. Somebody knows who I am. I was like, okay, well, that's good you know who I am.
Yeah, you already know.
It's good you know who I am, who you are dealing with here. In Jesus' name, be healed, be well, in Jesus' name. And this might be my opportunity to minister to her, to pray over her. If there is any demonic attack against her physical body, against her mentally, we just bind that in Jesus' name and leave this woman alone, you dark thing that is over her. And then I did get an update that she is back to being free and in her mind, and she says that she was in a fog. I'm praying to God she doesn't remember what she said, because it was very vicious. So that was one thing, and I just thought, and I left that going, God, thank you so much. I just showed up. I just showed up to work and said, use me, and I got a chance to kind of minister in a very intense way.
Yeah, just showing awesome. Up, and then maybe God will do something. Yeah. So we just got to show up with our minds and our hearts and our will surrendered that he would do something. What is it that God does with you as far as like this highlighter?
Yeah, so I've been describing it to Brock. I said, this last week, I have had a lot of opportunities to do this kind of thing. And I said, God kind of highlights things for me. You know, when you're reading a book, you're reading and you kind of, if you really want something to stand out or you want to remember something or if you feel like it's important, you kind of just highlight it. And so that's what I feel like God has done with me is it's almost like he takes the spiritual highlighter. So it kind of stands out to me. It's unusual. Like for some reason, this is standing out to me. And I don't know what it is, but if I just kind of pay attention to it, God might reveal it. And that's what's been happening.
Yeah. And so you pull into a parking lot, you see a car, and you feel like you see this highlighter over this car. You don't know if anybody's in there. You don't know who the person is. Tell the story if you see a highlighter.
Yeah. You know how kind of when you see somebody and they look familiar? This is the best way I can describe it. You're like, I kind of, your face, it just looks familiar to me. That's kind of the feeling that I get. There's something about that car. I've never seen the car before in my life. I have no idea whose car it is or anything. But that feeling came, like, I feel like I know that there's something there. But it was God highlighting that car. And I was like, okay, I'll just, as I walk towards the nursing home, I'll just keep my eye on the car. And I was like, oh, somebody's in there. It's like, okay, well, I see the back of a head. I have no idea who it is. And I just feel the urge to stay. Just it's being highlighted, so let's just stay. Maybe the person's going to get out, and I get a chance to talk to them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The person gets out, and I'm like, ah, it's Jason from Taylor. Mm-hmm. He graduated from Taylor University. I know him. This is awesome. Okay. Well, now I don't know. And then I'm like, it's his first day on the job as an administrator of this building, this whole nursing home. So we got a chance just to walk in together, and I feel like God just used me to, I don't know, if he needed just a word of encouragement or just, hey, let's go, man. Let's make today great. Yeah. And are you excited? Are you pumped? To where he got to walk in with an extra boost of encouragement. And, of course, I prayed for him. And
yeah. Yeah. Awesome. God can just do little things just by being there and being aware, right? Then you go into Meijer. And your goal is to not talk to anyone, get your
groceries.
You're
not supposed to tell them that. Here we have this pastor that's like, guys, when you're in the grocery store, like, just be looking around for people to talk to. And I'm like, I got things to do. I'm like, if I don't make eye contact with me, they'll know I haven't seen them. So head down, let's go.
Yeah.
And then I accidentally see him. I'm like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. I see all the moms nodding their heads. Yeah.
I'm awful.
So you're doing this in Meijer. You want to get in, you want to get out,
yep.
And yet you see
the highlighter
comes over someone's face. And
yeah, in the canned food aisle. In the canned food aisle, it was one of those, like, I'm looking down there to see if I need anything real quick. And I do see this woman there. I have no idea who she is, but there was the highlighter, and I was like, oh, there's something about her. And I was like, okay, well, we'll just keep going. I was like, oh, I failed the test the first time. So then I see her again in the dairy aisle, and I'm like, there she is again. What is up with this woman? I don't know who she is. And she kind of now is looking at me, and I'm like, oh, gosh, she knows who I am, and I don't know who she is. She didn't know who I was. But I thought I'd be obedient, and I said, there is something about you that I just need to ask who you are and introduce myself, or do you know who I am? Like, there's something happening and I don't know what it is. Do you know who I am? And she goes, no, but you stood out to me too. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's really cool. And I said, okay, well, how would we know each other if we do? And there was no connection. And she said, well, I'm the president's wife of Indiana Wesleyan University. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, stay cool, it's cool, you good? And I was like, okay, this is awesome, you're like incredible. And so anyway, the Lord kind of highlighted in her heart to make a peach cobbler, or apple cobbler, and so that's why she went to Meijer to pick up this stuff. And she texted me after we exchanged texts, and she texted me immediately afterwards and said, I believe God impressed on me to make this apple cobbler just so I could meet you. And I look forward to getting to know you and building relationship with you. And I was like, oh my gosh, God brings the coolest people into our life in the dairy section.
Yeah, yeah.
He can do it. And so there's something there.
So grateful I'm not lactose intolerant.
Right.
Right, yeah, for that moment. So then a Ball State student reaches out and wants to learn, what are you guys doing for community restoration and revitalization? And it easily could have been a phone call. It easily could have been an email back. Mm-hmm. But instead, you felt the highlighter.
Yep. I said, I'm supposed to meet with her. It'd be nice to get it over. Again, I got things to do. I'm a very task-oriented person. And God was like, nope, I'm highlighting her to you. There's something there. I'm like, okay. So I said, I want to meet with you face-to-face. I'll choose that option. She's like, okay. So we meet at the branch. And I did go into this meeting very mission-minded. I thought, okay, we can talk about Main Street. We can talk about sidewalks and flower plots. But I think that there's a deeper reason we're meeting here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to come ready. And so I, off the bat, just asked her, what brought you interest? You know, what is it? Who is it? Who are you that would you'd want to serve in this capacity? So she was able to kind of just share her past with me, what led her to the present and her passion about rural areas. And she's working at Aspire. And it ends up, I start, that thing's just bubbling up in me. And I start talking. I even tell her, I said, God told me to meet with you. I said, He really highlighted you in my mind, and He wants you to know that you are on His mind and that He loves you and He loves your heart to serve. And it just, she was so excited. She was like, really? Really? I was like, yes. And so we, and it went on like that, where we talked about planters and we talked about businesses and economic growth and things like that. But the whole time I was like, let's get back to the move of God. Let's get back to that. And I told her, you know, more than anything, more than restoration of streets and sidewalks, I want to see hearts restored. Mm. I want to see spirits leap in the presence of the Lord. I want to see minds blown by the goodness of God. So yeah, I'm all about that. But I'm more passionate about the spiritual development of our community and what God wants to do here. And I know that she did tell me that she was a Christian, and so she could kind of be on board with me about that. But we both walked away just like, whew, just pumped.
Come on.
It was good for both of us.
Easily could have just blown it off. Hey, here's what we did with the sidewalks. Yeah. But there's a highlighter. And God, I want to have my eyes submitted to you that I can see with spiritual eyes, right, awakened to you. Also, you met with a group of Taylor University students, and you met with these girls and Air Jordan and some of these fun girls. And so you're just showing up to a meeting in an ordinary life, and the Holy Spirit starts flowing.
Yeah, it was awesome. I absolutely loved it. Just said, yeah, I'll be obedient and meet with these girls. I have no idea if I have, you know, what I'm going to say or how this is going to go, but let's do it. And there was just an awesome move of the Spirit there and connecting of hearts. And I can't wait to see more what God's going to do there.
So it's meeting with college students and university professors and speaking to the demonic realm and showing up at nursing homes. I mean, it's like, what a week, huh?
Wow.
But it just seems like an ordinary week of going to volleyball games and football and doing whatever. And while you're there, your eyes are looking, who can I connect to? Who do you want to talk to? What is happening here? And just constantly aware of what God would want to do. Yep. Good job. I like you.
I like you.
A lot. That's pretty cool, huh? And so, guys, all of us get to live like this. Like, we all could do this. We really, really can. And so what we're going to pray is, God, just give us spiritual eyes to see through a highlighter, if you could. Check out this scripture again with some highlights. Here's if we could take a highlighter to this. So here's what I want you to do, and God would help you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, okay? You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, walking around. Take this ordinary life, place it before God as an offering. This next one. And embrace what God does for you. All right, so we go walk into the grocery store, head up. Go in 10 or 15 minutes earlier if you have to. Head up. Is it the best thing that God can do? Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. But here's the next thing. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you in each moment and quickly respond to it. Don't be like your culture. It drags you down. It makes you immature. But God will bring out the best in you, and He will develop maturity in you. And so can we all just be committed to show up to our ordinary, predictable, day in and day out lives, fully surrender to Him and say, God, here I am, use me. Use me, God. Create some really fun conversations and connections and bring me into the Prince of Powers of Darkness and let me speak to it and let's go and just love on some people and encourage those along the way. Just show up believing that an extraordinary God would use an ordinary person to do spectacular things, and let's just see what maybe God would want to do. Church family, would you just stand with me this morning? And we're going to pray. We're going to get out of here. We're going to pray this kind of a vision upon our lives. Holy Spirit, we ask you, God, that we would have eyes to see, that we would have ears to hear, that we would have hearts to obey and to do everything that it is that you're calling us to do with these ordinary lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.